Economist and New York Times op-ed writer Paul Krugman writes this morning, it's feeling a lot like 1992 right now. It's also feeling a lot like 1980. But which parallel is closer? Is Barack Obama going to be a Ronald Reagan of the left, a president who fundamentally changes the country's direction, or will he be just another Bill Clinton? Many progressives who supported Barack Obama against Hillary Clinton during the Democratic primary elections are disappointed by several recent moves made by the Illinois senator after he clinched the nomination. Among those are a fervently pro-Israel speech made to the Israeli lobby group AIPAC, a Bill Cosby-like Father's Day speech aimed at failing black fathers, a rejection of public campaign financing, and his most recent announced intention to vote for the FISA bill, which will legalize much of George Bush's illegal wiretapping policies. Is Barack Obama using sound political strategy to woo the country's independent and centrist voters? Will he ultimately reveal his true progressive colors even when he makes it into the White House? Perhaps. Or maybe progressive supporters of Obama are being politically naive. We heard from Rahul Mahajan. Now we hear from Norman Solomon. He is an elected Obama delegate. He's also the author of War Made Easy and a syndicated columnist of Media and Politics. Welcome back to Uprising, Norman.
Hey, good morning. Thank you, Sonali.
So you heard a little bit of what Rahul had to say about Barack Obama. You are a Obama delegate. Are you a fervent Obama supporter?
Well, I'm a fervent supporter of getting John McCain out of the White House, and clearly Barack Obama as candidate is the only mechanism on the ballot to do that. The best way to not become disillusioned is to not to have illusions in the first place. And I think there are very good reasons that so many progressives, including myself, did not have Barack Obama as their first choice to become the nominee. I ended up voting for John Edwards in the California primary by mail ballot before he withdrew from the race shortly before so-called Super Tuesday. And I think that we need to, at every stage, look at what the best choices are for progressives. And I think there's an opening now to change the direction of the federal government. All the ways that we want to create progressive change will have as necessary precondition, not sufficient, but necessary, to get the right wing out of the White House. And the Obama campaign between now and November is crucial to doing that.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the moves he's been making recently. What do you think he is trying to do? Is this just political strategy, or are we now really seeing the Barack Obama, the real Barack Obama?
Well, you know, I would say that with maybe an appropriate touch of humility, I do political analysis and media analysis, not psychoanalysis, and so I couldn't claim to know what's going on inside his head. I would say, though, that this is a classic pattern, and it actually would be surprising if this didn't take place. We've had one Democratic candidate who became nominee for president after another, one election cycle after another, trying to pull in progressive votes and go to the base during the primary, but after getting a lock on the nomination, then diving towards the center, and I would say Obama's about right on schedule.
So compare what he is doing with what John Kerry did against George W. Bush.
Well, Kerry, you know, again, tried to pull in some progressive votes when he had a primary fight. And then, if this is imaginable, became even weaker in his advocacy for progressive caucuses in the general election campaign. You know, there was that infamous moment in front of, I think it was the Grand Canyon, where he couldn't bring himself to say anything at all, really, against the Iraq War, and was very disappointing in the process in terms of even critiquing his own past actions in enabling that invasion of Iraq. So I think, you know, there are different elements, though, and what is very important is the actual constituency that has propelled someone into the nomination. And I think we saw in the last half year, last fall, last winter, into the spring, just the mobilization of forces at the base that really did put Barack Obama over the top. I think it's very important to remember that the war has been a crucial issue in this primary. And there's been a lot of talk about the misogyny, the sexism, the slurs, the gender slurs that have been used against Hillary Clinton in the primary. And certainly some of that has happened and has been reprehensible. But if Hillary Clinton had voted against the invasion of Iraq instead of in favor of it before it took place, when she voted in the Senate, I think she'd have the nomination at this point. Barack Obama, whatever critique progressives may have, he's elucidated and articulated some very key positions, including this war, something that he's opposed from the start. And he said very clearly, and I'm quoting almost exactly here, it's not enough to have been against this war in Iraq. It's also important to be against the mindset that brought us the war in the first place.
But, Norman, what if he does back away from that position as he's backed away from other positions? And also, what about the fact that he's an ardent supporter of the war against Afghanistan, which is part of the mindset of war that you were talking about?
Well, I think that's a very, very good point. I wrote a piece that ran on Common Dreams and some other websites a few months ago that was titled Party Like It's 1932. And I pointed out that in his first race for president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt was a centrist. He had regressive pro-corporate positions. He wanted a tax cut. He wanted to cut the federal budget, I should say, most of all. If he had stuck to those positions, the New Deal would have been impossible. But at least he wasn't a total retrograde corporatist. And then getting him in the White House made it possible, if progressives, and they did, were to organize effectively at the base to move him in a good direction. So in the case of Afghanistan, I think if John McCain is president next year and beyond, he's going to be, unfortunately, given his presidential power, a virtually immovable force in terms of the so-called war on terror, which includes, of course, the occupation and continued warfare against Afghanistan. It is possible that with Barack Obama in the White House, if we organize effectively, we can dislodge him from a position that I think really needs to be critiqued and challenged.
My guest is Norman Solomon, the person you've heard frequently on Uprising. We had brought him here to Southern California during our Super Tuesday coverage. Since then, he has been elected as an Obama delegate. He's also the author of War Made Easy and a syndicated columnist of Media and Politics. Norman, so one thing that does set Barack Obama very much apart from these other candidates and previous presidents is his background. He certainly, of course, not even withstanding race, which is the most visible difference, but even his class background, his grassroots organizing background, his immigrant ancestry, all of that sets him very much apart from these other candidates, and certainly I think has been a factor in progressives and young people's support of Barack Obama. Don't you think he has enough support from the progressive left and even just mainstream liberals in the United States to ride a progressive agenda to the White House given his performance during the primary elections, or is that a politically naive sentiment?
Well, you know, it remains to be seen as it plays out which it might turn out to be more of. If you watch Fox News, and some people feel it's necessary for one reason or another, it's really so painfully clear that the reliance on jingoism, on hostility to anything that seems like it's the left, on coded racism and sometimes not too coded, on ethnocentrism, hostility to Muslims, and on, that's really part of the political fabric of this country. And it's visible on a place like Fox, but, you know, once we get out of some of the sometimes large progressive bubbles in certain parts of the country, it's fairly widespread. And, you know, whatever disclaimers McCain utters in the next few months, one of McCain's best allies in defeating Obama potentially is racism and jingoism and all sorts of what we would call ethnocentrism. And I think that's a reality. I don't think by any means this election is a slam dunk for Obama.
So let's also talk then about what do you think progressives should be doing between now and November. I mean, we saw the way in which a certain segment of the right mobilized very, very effectively over this past decade to put George W. Bush in the White House and to keep him there, even though they weren't necessarily a majority of voters. Can progressives, through holding Barack Obama as accountable as possible, do the same thing? And if so, do you see that actually happening?
Well, I think it's potentially going to happen. It will require progressives to, I think, avoid two extremes. One is that we don't have a dog in this fight, and so we can vote for Nader or McKinney, and it doesn't much matter. I think that would be, in the light of history and current reality, frankly, very foolish. Another mistake on another extreme, if you will, would be to go lockstep with Obama and simply say, well, you know, he's the boss, he's in charge, we won't raise a progressive agenda along the way. If we're going to sweep progressives into office at every level of government, we need to articulate a progressive agenda around genuine universal health care that has no barriers to financial access, has equal quality of health care and access for everybody in the country. Quick, swift, complete withdrawal of U.S. forces from Iraq, raising, as you point out, the crucial issue of getting the U.S. out of Afghanistan so we can have meaningful multilateral consultation on this planet of how to solve problems together genuinely, not just as a cover for military intervention. I think a lot of these issues around economic equity at home are ones that we've got to be willing to raise in all sorts of forums, and that includes the platform of the National Democratic Party. And as one of the elected delegates to the National Convention, I'm working with others to, for instance, fight for a genuine universal health care plank that would be health care for all, Medicare enhanced for all, of all ages in this country. We've got to put up that fight all the time.
So, Norman, my second part of that original question was, do you see this happening? I mean, do you think that the left is organized enough, progressives are organized enough, and particularly those who are new to political organizing, those new supporters of Barack Obama, are they going to be starry-eyed and hope that Barack Obama will, change once he gets into the White House, or will they articulate this agenda and try to hold him accountable? Are you optimistic?
Well, I'm not optimistic or fatalistic. I think that the base, the active base and the voting base for Obama really has a lot of different tendencies within it. I've talked to a lot of very savvy long-term and short-term people on the left who recognize that there are a lot of contradictions within Obama himself and the positions he's taken. And I think there's a lot of realism there that we're in this for the long haul, that the Obama campaign and hopefully Obama presidency is an opening. But there are a significant number, I think, of people we could call, with due respect, starry-eyed, who just think that this is about one individual who can transform the executive branch without looking at the constraints of our political economy that require us to mobilize at the base to really create change.
You know, you brought up the issue of the fact that this election is definitely going to be a difficult one for progressives because it's difficult to threaten Barack Obama. I mean, what about those progressives who say, well, if Barack Obama does move more and more into the center, I'm just going to vote for Cynthia McKinney. I'm just going to vote for Ralph Nader. I mean, could that not at least have the possible reaction from Obama that he may lose voters, particularly those voters that he takes for granted? I mean, the black vote that he's, that he may be taking for granted. What about the black vote going more towards, just a significant enough portion going towards Cynthia McKinney that it could threaten his base? Could that not have a positive effect?
Well, I think in a close election, it could have an effect in certain states with electoral votes up for grabs. Positive effect is a whole other matter. If people think it doesn't make much difference to have, say, somebody like Alito on the Supreme Court, that it's a coin flip between an Alito or, say, a Ruth Bader Ginsburg in terms of politics, then we won't even be looking at 5-4 votes. We might be looking at 6-3 more commonly in terms of a reactionary, repressive direction. So, people will need to make those judgments.
Norman Solomon, as always, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Norman Solomon is an elected Obama delegate. He's the author of War Made Easy, a syndicated columnist of Media and Politics. And for Sonali's subversive thought for the day, I'd like to quote comedian Dave Barry. He said, "The question is, why are politicians so eager to be president? What is it about the job that makes it worth revealing on national television that you have the ethical standards of a slime-coated piece of industrial waste?" That's Dave Barry, and that's Sonali's subversive thought for the day.